Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
KO 94 WIP. This is the midday show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. You want to get in 215-592-9494 is how you do on the show. Obviously, we're doing our backs for Barkley push here. Former NFL running backs pushing for Saquon Barkley to win the MVP. And yeah, Brian Westbrook's on the side of Saquon winning MVP. Love that answer definitively. No doubt about it. He deserves to win it.
Man, I tell you, it's one of those things when you talk about his contribution to this team in a short period of time. I mean, I see exactly where he's coming from. And this is big for running backs, man. Like I said, we tend to forget. There were whole shows on TV. Was it Austin Eckler? Who was it? It was Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler.
I think like Derrick Henry and Saquon too. They were
all trying to get paid at the same time and nobody wanted to pay him. Now, the GM in New York's name, I forgot his name. Let's be honest. If Saquon Barkley was in New York right now, probably wouldn't have the same kind of success that he was having right now because of all the parts that we have that they don't have. But he can't feel good about seeing the success that he's having in a short period of time. And Giants fans can't feel great about the direction that their team is going in, especially when, was he the number second? He was the number two pick in the draft?
Yeah.
Number two pick in the draft.
18.
Looks like what a number two pick in the draft should look like, but he didn't look like it up there. He looks like it at your direct rival. That's the sickening part. Like, I think about Giant fans often, and when I think about them and laugh,
to be
honest, because the reality for them is this. Saquon Barkley would have never been what he is up there with the way your team is presently constructed. But at the same time, you look at what he's doing now, you look at his greatness, and now you can't help but wonder, what if we would have had some things around him in order? If you would have built your team a little bit better, if you wouldn't have gave your quarterback – what was his name? Josh Daniels?
Daniel Jones.
Josh, yeah. Whatever the hell his name is.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. He ain't even there no more.
Yeah.
But what if you would have, instead of giving him that money, maybe got some offensive linemen and build around a young quarterback what you could have had? They got to be sick up there in New York.
It's been awful for them. 215-592.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me feel great.
592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you think the Eagles need the one seed? Huge game tonight between the Packers and Lions. And also, with Saquon Barkley, one of the things we've been discussing, if there's a situation week 18, whether one seed, two seed, whatever, the Eagles are locked in. And all they need to do is, you know, take that week, get ready for the playoffs. Do you play Saquon Barkley if the rushing record is within reach? And Saquon was asked about this kind of situation presenting himself. Here is Saquon on whether the record is important.
So this is actually about the Eagles record.
Okay.
I just wonder if you think this sounds like a guy that would want to break the NFL rushing record.
Now, I don't know. I what's your take on that, Hugh? Because I hear it two ways. I think he definitely wants the record. Like, the fact that he's familiar with the guys in front of him tells me that he wants it. But I don't think that he would do it at the expense of the team's success.
Saquon wants to make history, man. That's a fact. He wants to make history because it means something to him. The fact that I guess I didn't have to because I knew the history of the Eagles defense. So I didn't have to go look far to find it. But for him to go back in the archives and look at where he could potentially place in the pantheon of Eagles running backs, he knew exactly what he was going into and he knew exactly what potentially could happen. I mean, you don't think that he looked at this offensive line and when Howie called him on the phone and was like, hey, we want you here in Philadelphia, I would even venture to say, if they didn't give him as much money as they would have gave him, he probably still would have came.
Yeah.
He would have thought about it because you're on the throes of making history right now. So that's something he thought about. Saquon's a smart kid, man. No question about that. And I know that ultimately he wants to stick it to the Giants by getting to the Super Bowl, and that would be great. But he also wants to get that rushing record too. But it's weird, TK, because I would venture to say that every day that he wakes up, he feels differently about it than he did the day before. And what I mean by that is this. When you wake up and you do that, you check the pilot light, you check the light you got on your car when there's something wrong, the check engine light or whatever.
Yes,
you check engine light. We wake up in the morning and you get that check engine light. What I mean by that, you put your feet on the ground and see how your body feeling, see how them knees feeling. See if you feel good today. Be like, oh, yeah, today, yeah, I think I want to go ahead and break that record today. Might wake up one morning and knees hurt a little bit. Like, no, I want to pull that back just a little bit. It's a day-to-day thing, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is. When you're in that point, it's a day-to-day thing.
And
but I think right now he wants to break it.
And like you said, for you, it wasn't that hard. I mean, you know Reggie White pretty much had every record that you were going for anyway.
Yeah.
But, Kyle, what do you think about when you hear Saquon say that? Do you think that it's clearly important to him?
Yeah, my brain shut off after I heard him say, I'm aware of it. Because he can pretend all he wants that the only thing that matters is winning. And I remember it was the mic'd up thing on the sideline where Sirianni's like, you know, do you want it? And he's like, now let the young guys eat. And that was cute. But, I mean, if we're being honest, it's way more real right now. Like, after he had that 250-yard game against the Rams, this thing is really into focus, the NFL rushing record. And you can't convince me that if it came down to it and it was really up to him, like, if he could do it without, like, if he could almost say, do it without saying, I want it, right? Like, if he had the O-lineman all say, no, we want him to get it, and he, like, I think he would prefer that outcome so where he doesn't have to be the one to say, no, I want it. But if they gave it to him, you know he would want it.
Hey, man, you're in the throes of history. Ain't no need to try to be humble now. Hell, if you want it, say you want it.
And the part of it being against the Giants has to play a role, too.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be a factor in this. The fact that you can break the single-season rushing record against the Giants and just stick it to them one more time.
Does Mara show up
to that game? Give Mara the ball.
Does he show up to the link and sit in the box?
I don't know.
To watch Saquon break the record?
I don't know. But, I mean, Saquon's got to – he's got to present John Mara with that ball and the ball that he breaks the record with.
So Saquon breaks it. Mara's there.
Yeah.
Does Mara give him a nice ovation up in the press box?
I think at this point, you have to come to grips with what potentially is going to happen. I would probably congratulate him if you feel – I mean,
Mara's never going to live that clip down, is he? He's
are you
never
talking about
the owner? The owner.
Yeah. I mean, you got to congratulate him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost the equivalent of you seeing you. Even though you broke up with her, you still want to see her do well.
Okay.
Or him. You know, when you talk about relationships. Well, mature people do.
Yeah.
It's not
a situation where you know, like, I'm the one who messed up this relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not her fault. I just want to see them be happy. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in media. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, hey. One thing about Saquon that, you know, I hear the buzz people saying, you know, it's the line. Well, every Monday I watch the 22 that gets put out there. And one of the things I noticed with Saquon, he sets up a lot of blocks. I mean, for sure, the line definitely opens up big holes, but he is so good at setting up blocks, particularly downfield. I remember when Jason Kelce was here, there'd be times where the running back would run by Jason on the wrong side, and you'd see Jason kind of frown. Saquon doesn't do that, man. He is so good at looking downfield and setting up linemen to help him score. You know, it's a symbiotic thing. It's not because of the line. It's because of both of them together.
Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. What now? Wait, what? You said it ain't because of the line. What?
No, I'm saying it's how about and or? It's both. It's, you know, the line is doing a great job opening up holes. But I would say if you look at the All-22 and how Saquon runs, he does a great job, particularly when the linemen are at the second level, of setting the linemen
up. He does.
Let him have it.
He averages the most yards before contact of any running back in the NFL. I'm not discrediting Saquon, but, you know.
I mean,
a lot of it does have to do with
I'm with Mike on this. I know what Mike's saying here.
What is he saying?
He's following the blockers. He's making the right reads. Where you look at a guy like DeAndre Swift last year, a lot of times, maybe you could have had bigger gains. He's not making the right reads.
I get what he's saying. He's patient.
It's a symbiotic relationship. But, man, listen. We've seen Saquon in New York with that offensive line. And we've seen Saquon here with his offensive line. Like, he did a lot, but boy, I feel like just a little bit, Mike, you're trying to diminish the contribution of this offensive line just a tad bit.
What happens is I hear people call in and say, well, Saquon's only doing this because of the offensive line.
Oh, no, I don't say that. I don't subscribe to that. But I hear what you're saying.
Exactly,
I know what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that.
What I'm saying is that offensive line is awesome. And you just threw out that stat there of how many yards he gets before contact. Well, if he's 10 yards down the field and the defender can't go through the lineman because Saquon's smart enough to make the cut to put that defender at a disadvantage versus the lineman's block. That's on Saquon. That's just not, well, the lineman was down there and threw a block. No, as I was going to bring up Swift. Swift used to do it all the time. And I remember Jason Kelce at one more than one time because he was the guy who was downfield kind of looking saying, what the hell did you go that way for, dude?
No, yeah, I got you, Mike, and appreciate the call. And I think that's what Mike was saying there. Is that it's both. And I would agree. I think the offensive line's obviously a huge part of it. But I kind of see the same thing during these games. Saquon is great at setting up the blocks and letting them take
shape. He is, but it's one of those things where – as great as Saquon is, we've had six seasons where, well, four, because people like to point out that he had two pretty good seasons with the Giants. We've seen four seasons where, as good as his vision is, and he's good at setting up blocks, it still wasn't good enough to do what he needed to do. He's hadn't had a season in New York like he's having here. And that's because that offensive line, man, they are mauling people. They're mauling good players. They are beating up good defensive linemen. They're beating them up. They're beating them up pretty good.
The O-line's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think, hey, it's one of those things where it's both. It's Saquon didn't have that success in New York, and the Eagles running game hasn't had this kind of success without Saquon.
They've had success. They haven't had this level of success.
Right.
So it's you know what I mean? That's why I hear Mike's point, but it's almost like, you know what I mean? It's like I was dating nines and tens before I met you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, you just happen to be, you have, I guess, in this situation, you have to be the Taylor Swift of the nine, of the ten. You're a ten, but you got bread too.
And also, I get it. Like you want to stick up for your guys in the trenches.
No, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? It was like, hey. You was dating models before I met you. Like I had some top tier.
10 with red.
That's a bad analogy.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
Hugh, there's no such thing as a bad analogy.
No, I'm just saying. That's not true.
No, with Hugh,
Hugh's had plenty.
It doesn't matter, though. Like, all of Hugh's analogies, it doesn't matter whether they're good or bad. They're always enjoyable here.
I always dated dime pieces.
It's my favorite part of the show when you throw out your analogies, Hugh.
Yeah, that probably was a bad one.
I enjoy all of them.
Probably should have stayed away from that one.
Let's go to Andy in Westchester. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Hugh, why do you have a candy apple in your stocking if you can't eat it?
You know what's funny? We were talking about that this morning. I was trying to be like linear as far as the show is concerned.
It's another show thing, Andy.
Yeah.
I thought for sure it was gummies for that reason.
You know, Andy, I was told to stay away from that. I was told for work reasons. I was told for, you know,
I got you.
Certain reasons I couldn't talk about, you know, weed paraphernalia. So, you know, I can't.
Will that be in the actual stocking, though?
No, I did say gummies, and I was telling Kyle about some pre-rolls, maybe. But, nah, probably not.
My question was, are you going to eat this tomorrow night?
The gummy? I mean, the gummy. You mean the,
now he's focused on the gummies.
The candy apple?
We lost them.
We lost you.
Listen, I just had to call my dentist today. I might have broke one of these veneers, so nah, that probably going to happen.
So, anyway, back to Saquon. I mean, you guys were talking about this. It is a curious thing. I would think that if it comes down to it, if he's close, but I mean, I just feel like we're going over and over the same thing, but I think his bigger goal is Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that what would matter to you more than anything?
See, this is the thing, and it's interesting because, yes, because when you tier him, Super Bowl is number one, no question about that.
Right.
But if I'm close, why can't I have both?
Yeah, and this,
yeah, sure.
And this is the way I look at it, Andy. From a fan's perspective, I agree with you. Like, I care about the team being healthy and winning a Super Bowl. But I do think with Nick, it's a fine line you got to walk here, because I almost feel like he does need to put it in Saquon's hands. Like, he might not want to put Saquon out there, but considering the kind of year he's had, as Brian Westbrook told us in the last segment, not just for Saquon, but also for the offensive line, I almost feel like it's a spot where he needs to give Saquon the option to leave it up to him.
Which I'm sure he will, and then that's where I'm saying it's a curious thing because of who we know Saquon is and what he's done in the past. It's just interesting to see what he will do in that situation, because I'm assuming he's going to get close, you know, knock on wood, but who knows. PK, Kyle was right. You should have gone for Bijan, not –
Oh, Skaronski. Appreciate it, Andy. Thanks for the call.
Man, thank you, Andy.
You have takes that you know, you move past. I was hoping people would forget about starving for Skaronski.
Yeah, that
didn't age well.
I'm sorry I had to bring that one back.
And
up.
Not a great hashtag either.
But I like the hashtag.
You did like
it. It was so bad that it was good.
I was so close. I just had to put Jones in for Jalen, and I would have been right 100%. Because hey, it ended up being the best case scenario, right? Like I was thinking about this, and I talked about it a little last night. If you redrafted that draft, Jalen Carter's absolutely going number two behind Stroud, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, I mean, he's
at least you staked your flag into one guy, whereas Howard put two names in the envelope of who the Eagles were going
to
draft.
Yeah, trying to cover all bases.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, you know, we don't do that here.
And by the way, you think my Bijan take was bad. I also called the Saquon signing a disaster. I thought that was a terrible signing.
I mean, you weren't the only one, because people pointed out, oh, he's going to get hurt. I just remember, I wish I could remember this Giants name, fam, but he looked at me and he was like, well, you signed a hurt guy. How you like me now?
Yeah. Fools. Well, he doesn't look too injured now. He looks pretty good. Let's go to Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, listen, what I'm seeing with Saquon and B. West just hit it on the head. This guy has the speed to get to the edge, the power to go up the middle, everything. What he is experiencing now for the first time in his life is a good offensive line and a good running back. If you could get a split second to make your break, or make your move, that's what he's seeing right now with a good offensive line that he didn't see with the Giants. And he is taking advantage fully of that. And he's using all his skills because of the physicality of our offensive line. And I'm not taking anything away from him. But I'm just saying the offensive line is a different. Like if you're a running back, you just see things so quickly, and he's able to do his burst, his, you know, whatever he wants to do, because I think he's with a good offensive line. Right
yeah,
now.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, Tom. And it's one of those things where, again, they work symbiotically together. I mean, the offensive line does a great job of kind of opening those holes, and you need somebody to execute on the back end. And Saquon's done that tremendously. What do you think about the one seed with the Eagles?
But I'll tell you what, the way he is reading that, that makes him an MVP to me. Mm-hmm. He is understanding like how to run things and so on. But the number one seed, I want the number one seed. I want it. I don't want to play in a dome. I want to play in Philadelphia. We played Philadelphia baseball here. The crowd is crazy. The crowds are crazy in the football stadium. I want the energy of the crowd to cheer us on and like to it brings an energy level. So I want the number one seed.
Yeah, I got you, Tom, and appreciate the call. Thanks for
Do people
for
know the difference
in.
Between want and need?
You need.
We all want the one seed.
You need the one seed. But again, like...
We're still trying to figure that one out.
People haven't figured that one out. But when you look at the one seed, I want to get your guys' take on this. What is it more important for? Is it more important to have the game here, or is it more important to have the week off? I think it's more important to get the week off.
I would say the rest, because I feel like this, man. I can't remember a playoff game that I've ever played in where... I looked up in the stands and didn't see Eagle fans. So that's not, to me, that's, I understand it's easier for on the fans and to respect you guys because you don't want to travel and have it at home. But I've never been in a playoff game where I've not looked into the stands and seen Eagle fans. I mean, they travel deep. I remember being in playoff games and staying in a hotel with Eagles fans. So that's not, to me, as a former player, that's not a big deal. Because we always travel well.
And you guys, I mean, you guys didn't play many road playoff games. I mean, you had the Chicago game.
No, I remember the Chicago.
The
yeah,
Louis
that's
game.
The one I was thinking about. Like the same. Man, Eagle fans travel well. I know what people want because that parking lot, being on the other side of it now and being a part of playoff games during this time of the year when it's cold outside and to see everybody getting lathered up and just being at home, it's a great feeling. It is a great feeling, and I get that. And that's the camaraderie that you bring in. You know, people home from school or whatever it is. People come back from school to be a part of the playoff games, and the tailgates are always nice. The levels of the tailgates, I don't know how it is anywhere else. I can take, well, I do in Atlanta. It's nice. But it's something different about being in this cold weather, being in this part of the country.
Oh, yeah.
During football season. It's just bananas.
Warm weather football in January, February, it's just wrong. I mean, yeah. You need your championship
But I didn't mind it, though. Being out there at tailgates in Atlanta when it was, you know, when it was, you start early and it's cool, and then it warms up during the course of the day. That's why I've gotten spoiled and don't really like to wear, like, pants and stuff, because it was warm down there.
Sound a little plant-based.
A little plant-based. A little bit.
Plant-based.
But, yeah, it's to me, it's not that big of a deal, but I get it. I understand it.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting. And, hey, tonight is going to go a long way to determining potentially where the Eagles end up and what their seeding is. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. All your calls in the final hour. The Saquon Barkley situation, how you'd approach this at the end of the season if the record is within striking distance, play him or rest him. And do the Eagles need this one seed? Big game tonight between the Packers and Lions. But when we come back, want to get to a piece of audio from Lane Johnson about the offense and maybe an explanation for some of the Eagles' slow offensive starts this season. That's coming up. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly, and for Joe Giglio, this is the Midday.